The majority of old people feel miserable most of the time.
False.
Physical strength tends to decline in old age.
True.
At least 1/10 of the aged are living in long stay institutions, that is, nursing homes, mental hospitals, homes for the aged.
False.
What did we say, how many?
5%.
5%. Aged drivers have fewer accidents per person than drivers under age 65.
True.
False.
Well,
they have fewer than the teenagers, or those that are under 25.
Right.
But I don't know about under 65. That's true, huh?
It says it is false. Sure. False.
False.
Age fewer accidents.
Yeah.
Right. Most older workers cannot work as effectively as younger workers.
And so that was true.
Depends on what it is.
It's false. About 80% of the aged are healthy enough to carry out their normal activities.
True.
Right? Most old people are set in their ways and unable to change.
False.
Right? Old people usually take longer to learn something new.
True.
It is almost impossible for most old people to learn new things.
Awesome.
What are you defining as old right here?
Well, these are people who are past 65.
Oh.
All right?
No.
The reaction time of most old people tends to be slower than reaction time of younger people.
True.
In general, most old people are pretty much alike.
False.
The majority of old people are seldom bored.
True. Seldom bored?
Right. The majority of old people are socially isolated and lonely.
False.
Older workers have fewer accidents than younger workers.
True.
Over 15% of the U.S. population are now age 65 or over. That's false.
Not quite yet.
Not yet, but it's getting there.
Yeah.
In Florida, in Broward County where I live, 30% of the population is over age 65.
Because they go there when they get home.
Yeah.
Oh, now wait a minute. We've never changed.
Most medical practitioners tend to give low priority to the aged.
True.
The majority of older people have incomes below the poverty level as identified by the federal government. The majority.
False.
The majority of old people are working or would like to have some kind of work to do, including housework or volunteer work.
True.
Older people tend to become more religious as they age.
True.
False? Right. Religion doesn't necessarily increase among older people unless they were religious when they were young, middle-aged, whatever. The majority of old people are seldom irritated or angry. And the health and socioeconomic status of older people compared to younger people in the year 2000 will probably be about the same as now.
True.
We're getting more and more frail elderly. And the health and the socioeconomic status of these older people will be much different than younger. Right? In the year 2000.
People are beginning to grow old,
right.
Grow slower.
Yeah.
Well, living it, I feel that she...
Go ahead.
Living in Fort Lauderdale, we have Port Everglades right here, from which go a lot of ocean-going liners. It's second largest next to Miami now. And we have a lot of time to talk to the personnel on some of these ocean liners and even the people in our building and talk about being affluent. It's incredible. I mean, some of these people take cruise after cruise after, not all of them, it's a few, cruise after cruise after cruise. You know, like a cruise is like $150 per day each. And they'll take a lot of them. And we have one couple in our building, both who have pensions, one's from the Army and one's from something else. They are going around the world for the third time on a cruise ship. And we don't even live in a really affluent area, and we are not in an expensive condominium. So I don't know what the rest of the people do. Of course, there's a lot of average people there like us living on early bird specials, but the amount of money some of these older people have is just incredible. Taking trips 2-3 a year, it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's just something to do, or they really?
Well, this one guy, one couple, been around the world 3 times. Well, they do it because they like boats. He was with the Navy or something, I think. Oh. And, you know, they like ships and they like cruising.
And they can afford it.
Right.
Yeah, and they can afford it. They got 2 pensions plus whatever else.
How many of you have been on a cruise? Where'd you go?
Well, this was years ago before World War II, and I went on the Great Lakes, and I've been to Alaska.
Mm-hmm. We used to take the DNC boat from Buffalo to Detroit with my mother to see my brother. That's the Great Lakes.
I went from Chicago to Buffalo and back.
Mm-hmm.
We used to go out the Mississippi River, and I think that was a cruise.
Right.
Well, there are cruise ships and there are cruise ships. If you know the angles and stuff, why you can cruise like half the price of the other guys. So you just got to know, like everything else, got to know the angles.
We've taken 2 groups of seniors up through the Inland Passage to Anchorage in Alaska on the SS Universe.
That's pretty luxurious, isn't it?
That ship is a student ship during most of the year. Yes. It's called Semester at Sea.
Amazing.
And it's a very reasonable trip. Have you been on it?
Yes.
Good.
It's like the Rock of Gibraltar. It's plain and it's basic, but it takes you through beautiful areas. And the food, you get like 3 choices instead of 10, you know, and your room is adequate, but it's not luxury, but then you don't pay luxury prices.
Last week when I was teaching the course on retirement, I mentioned this, and a number of people wanted to know about the SS Universe. It goes from British Columbia, from Vancouver, up to Alaska, to Anchorage, and it takes 2 weeks, and it's about half the price of other cruise ships, as far as cost is concerned.
And if you get in with a group, they get some, there's an angle.
Right.
Getting a better price even than there.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, for all the commercials we give that company, we ought to give it a cut.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So we may be interested in setting up another cruise up there to Alaska.
So I go back to your question 20 here. Most medical practitioners tend to give low priority to aging.
Right.
That is changing. It's been that way in the past.
Right.
A fellow that's teaching medicine at the University of Minnesota said they could hardly get anybody in the geriatrics studies of up and coming doctors. Didn't have enough romance to it, but now that's changing and they're getting more and more people interested in studying medicine.
That's right. We covered that yesterday, Howard. We should have been
around. I was here.
Yesterday. You were here, but not in class. You all have one of these?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with you here today? Let's pass them around there, because I want to walk through it. With you. This is a path for caregivers.
Then it begins, are you a caregiver? And it talks about taking care of someone, a disabled family member or friend, so forth and so on. Mentions the things that you have to do. And then why do people provide care in the home? Many reasons for doing this in a home instead of in an institution. Caregivers are motivated by a sense of obligation or a fear that no one else can provide quality care. Are most family caregivers trained to do the job? No. And that's why we're sharing this information this week about the Interfaith Volunteer Caregivers. And the material we're using is a training program which is available for caregivers in congregations, and it was authored by the University of the District of Columbia and the Interfaith group there, and is available now for replication in other parts of the country. Do caregivers find the role easy? Many find the role rewarding, but few say it's easy. There are physical and emotional stresses, and what we're trying to do is to assist these caregivers in the job that they're trying to do. Is the fact, yes? Somebody have a question? Just interrupt that time. Is your family caregiving situation different? Probably not. As different as others as you think, although your situation will undoubtedly be unique in some ways. What are the greatest needs of family caregivers? You need assistance from family, friends, and professional and community resources while you bear the responsibility of providing care. And that's where we're at today, community resources. We're to inform you about the participants and the variety of services available to the elderly, to acquaint you with the eligibility requirements, and to encourage the participants to become advocates for the needed services. It helps to be familiar with all of the available community resources in order to assist elderly in locating and using them if the need should arise. In addition to being familiar with the available resources, it's important to have a knowledge of the requirements and sometimes lengthy procedures involved in obtaining these services. This will give us a better understanding as well as help to be more supportive to our aged parents and relatives as they seek to utilize these services. Sometimes simply providing an aged parent with information about a particular agency or service may not be enough. You may have to push a little or explain over and over again the type of service, who provides it and why, what is involved and what he or she has to do in order to get that kind of service. You need to be patient, but persistent, and above all, reassuring. If the aged person becomes resistant, try and talk to him or her, saying, "You brought me up to be a responsible and caring adult. Now I feel that this service could definitely help you, and I'd like to encourage you to at least try it. Or please, why don't you do it for me?" Another suggestion is to give a service to your aged relative or parent as a gift for a trial period. Or contact the agency and ask someone there to contact your relative or parent and talk to him about the service. In Fort Lauderdale, Broward County, we have a program called Community Care for the Elderly, in which they send out a person to try to find out what the needs of an elderly person are, as far as services required. They do an assessment, and then they make recommendations as to where to go to receive those kinds of services. It's a statewide program, and it's not under Medicare, it's not under the federal area agency on aging program, which is funded by the federal government, but it is a statewide program. I don't know, do you have anything like that in Minnesota?
Well, they got, you know, different programs, but
right. I don't know about that. We don't know about that. How about in any other place? Who's from Washington here?
I am. I'm from close to Seattle, but I don't know about that.
Mm-hmm. And then we have an information and referral service, which is, you know, like a telephone number that people call. And we have a new name for this now. We call it the Senior Connection. It's one number that you call to find out all the services which are available for seniors in Broward County. It's run both by the Area Agency on Aging Information and Referral and by the Community Service Council, which is our overall planning group for services to all people. Senior Connection.
Is that in Washington?
This is in Broward County.
In Florida.
And you're in Washington State?
Grant County. I don't know of such a service.
Well, it is suggested that you locate these community services either by looking into your telephone book under the yellow pages for senior services or for community services, whichever way they're listed, and also to talk to people who are in this business of helping elderly people. Howard mentioned the fact that more physicians now are getting into gerontology and geriatrics, and so you talk to your doctor about these things, and sometimes they know about these services, sometimes they don't. Talk to your clergy person, talk to your pastor or your social worker and so forth, and get a clear picture, clear idea as to what services are available and know what kind of services you want. If the service or agency is not listed in the telephone book that you can find readily, then go to your Area Agency on Aging, which is listed probably under a senior center or something like that, IRL, I-N-R, but L stands for liaison, and I get that mixed up sometimes with what I am. But there's many ways to find out about this. Your white and your yellow pages in the phone book is a good place to start. Your county government should have some kind of social service department which assists the residents of your county. When we are in Florida, of course, we get a lot of what we call snowbirds who come down for only part of the year. And they're not eligible for all of the services that the Broward County Social Service has because they're not really residents of Broward County. They live somewhere else most of the year, but they come down for the winter. But I don't know what the situation is in other parts of the country. There should also be general information that you can receive, as I stated, through a telephone number, such as Senior Connection and so forth. Senior citizens organizations and service organizations, nurses and nursing homes, you'll find listings for these in your telephone books, and home health agencies, and homes for adult groups for living and so forth. The information regarding your aged parents' eligibility, however, is gotten from other sources. If they are eligible for SSI, you know what SSI means? That's Supplemental Security Income. That's if they're in a certain poverty level and they can become eligible then for Medicaid. I'm not talking about Medicare, I'm talking about Medicaid now. You call the Social Security Administration, which supervises SSI as well as Medicare and Medicaid. Once you found the phone number, you actually have just begun. And often you will be referred to agencies within agencies or transferred to departments, and you may find the way a service is listed in the phone book is misleading and is not really what you're looking for. But you have to be persistent, and the following suggestions may be helpful.
Do you have any numbers guidelines for that?
What kind of numbers?
Like what you have to do to qualify.
For SSI? Yeah. You have to have a income below poverty.
More specific. Like you can own your house or condo.
Thank you.
And you can own your car.
Thank you.
And you can have maybe $6,000 income or something like that. But above that, you don't qualify.
I don't think it's $6,000. It all depends on the state that you live. But you see, SSI and Medicaid and Medicare are federal programs, but they are under the jurisdiction of the state, yes.
Is that only for the elderly, or can younger people get in on that if they are not able to work?
SSI supplemental income under Social Security. So it's for those who are eligible for Social Security. And if they can't live on what Social Security gives, if they don't have any income, as my wife states, other than where they live, any assets other than the home they live in, and a car and so forth, they're eligible.
A lot of people can qualify for Social Security if they're disabled, so that might work depending on the social circumstances, but you can qualify for Social Security if not necessarily if you're over 62. If you're disabled, you can still get Social Security.
Right. So disability income is a part of Social Security.
You might
you don't have
then
to be 65
get SSI in addition.
Right. But I check with your State Department of Social Welfare and your Social Security office. Okay?
There is a booklet out that says who is eligible for Social Security, and it's quite enlightening as to who all can get it besides people over 62.
Yeah, if you turn over the page here on this side, you'll find that there's all kinds of places that you can get resources and information. There are groups listed there as well. And all of these publications that AARP puts out, and the tapes and the slide programs are available, which talk about all of these matters that we're covering here this morning. But let me try to help you get through the bureaucracy when you call a number and try to get information. You have to be specific as to what kind of information you want to get. You have to be polite but firm, because they can turn you off, you know, and the phone can be slammed down. It's better to call in the mornings than in the afternoons or by 5 o'clock, whenever they close, because they're fresh usually in the morning, and they're more likely to take your matter for consideration. Don't apologize, because this is a service which the government is offering as part of the fact that you are a citizen of this country. And ask for the information that you want. Get the name of the person that you're talking to, in case you have to call back and they make a referral to someplace else. Be prepared as to the thing that you're trying to get information about, and be assertive and check all the options that they give you. In other words, if you call a number like Senior Connection and they tell you to call Community Care for the Elderly, follow that through by being assertive And by checking out that option, if community care for the elderly, which brings home makers into the home to help with the chores and so forth, is not able to meet your needs, then follow it up with another call to someplace else. Ask community care for the elderly, where else can I go to receive this kind of help? Check the various options which are available to you.
I did that one. I learned the hard way. If you send anything in, a letter or a social security number, anything, always make a Xerox, because they are very good at losing things or saying we didn't get it or it's in another department. So always keep a copy, Xerox.
And then also begin by contacting one of these organizations listed in the brochure here. You'll find them all on this last page here. And ask if there's someone who can help you identify what your needs are. You may not always know. And the senior connection number, which we now have, counsels with the people that call in to try to find out what they really need. Or send one of the booklets listed. This means that there are these other booklets available from AARP and from these other agencies. Send them out. Each time you reach out to one resource, you will learn about others that will make you feel less overwhelmed with the complex but important task of being a family caregiver. You all know about these agencies, I'm sure. The local city or county office on aging, the area agency on aging, which is the one which the federal government says is primarily responsible for services to seniors, your local health departments, your senior centers, your INR services, and your library. I think it was, what, yesterday that somebody mentioned that the Congress, Congressional Library have the tapes for the blind, which are available free of charge. And this is a service which you can use for blind people. From the federal government, you can also get assistance from the Veterans Administration. Many of these veterans hospitals now are having a special program for seniors in connection with the hospital itself, because many of these veterans now are seniors themselves. And from the White Pages, you get your organizations such as Meals on Wheels and the American Red Cross. In Florida, the American Red Cross has the surplus commodity program available for the people. And once a month, they give out free cheese and whatever is a surplus commodity designated by the federal government. And these are available to seniors as well.
Sometimes people have to be persistent in looking it up. You mentioned Meals on Wheels. In our place, that's under the agency called Neighbors, and they call them Mobile Meals.
Right.
You start looking for Wheels on Meals. Meals on Wheels, am I missing?
Right. In our area, it's called Home Delivered Meals.
Okay.
And it's under the nutrition program, which operates the congregate meal sites where the people come together and have their meal. And then the home delivered meals are for those people who are unable to come and who have a need for a nutritious meal. I served in that capacity with the Service Agency for Senior Citizens in the nutrition program, and the newspaper called me up one time before Thanksgiving, and they said, what are you going to give your seniors for Thanksgiving? And I had to tell them, we're closed on Thanksgiving. And we're closed on the day following Thanksgiving. And we're closed on Saturday and Sunday. So a big headline comes out in the paper, seniors starving over Thanksgiving. The situation changed. because then too, the they rallied behind us as far as the community organizations were concerned, and nursing homes and homes for the aged, prepared meals for the seniors who were coming to the congregant meal sites, and we delivered them over the weekend and over Thanksgiving, and they were fed. From that time on, all of the nutrition programs now have take-home meals when a holiday comes like that. And they take these meals home over the weekend and they eat, whether it's Thanksgiving or whatever holiday it is. And in Florida, of course, we have an interfaith program. So we have a kosher program for the Jewish people. And we started a couple of special kosher programs for them, and that's the most interesting program, because you get a better meal at the kosher program than you do at the regular program.
You do?
You like kosher food.
You do?
You do, right.
Tell them what you did to me once. Tell them.
You know, on the airplane, when you fly an airplane, you can order a kosher meal if you want. So one time I thought, you know, why try it? So I ordered two kosher meals for us when we flew somewhere.
It's horrible.
She didn't like it.
That was horrible.
Okay, where was I after we were eating? Oh, here. For resources and services related directly to the illness of your loved one, as far as what they're coping with, or for general resources, look in your phone book under associations or in the white pages for organizations such as American Cancer Society. Some of the places where ACS is located, they have programs for the clergy. I took a course on ministering to cancer patients at a hospital for a whole week. And I had to live in the hospital, and I had to, this was under the sponsorship of the American Cancer Society. I had a witness in a operation room when I was all dressed up, everything. A hysterectomy, which was taking place. And this was part of our training to minister to people with cancer. And it was a very different experience than I ever had in my training for the ministry before. But American Cancer Society has all kinds of freebies that they give to people who are in need. And they have many support groups which meet for people who have had cancer. One of those support groups they have is I Can Cope, which meets regularly and talks about how you cope with a disease such as cancer. The American Heart Association does many similar things, the American Diabetes Association, and the ADRDA, which is the Alzheimer's Disease and Related Disorders Association. They have support groups which meet and help the caregivers. The National Association for Home Care may be something which you may not know about, but you can get in touch with them. And were you familiar with this?
No.
Located in Washington, and it has some operations throughout the country. Then there is the Office on Aging and the Health and Community Calendar sections of your newspaper, which can also give you some educational resources for this kind of thing. Now, tell us about your problems and your questions.
I can comment, there's a National Association of Homes for the Aged.
That's called FAHA. That's the federal.
FAHA, and then there's AHA.
Ah.
And then so we have MAHA.
And in Florida, we have FAHA. That's where it
Florida,
is.
Yeah.
Florida has FAHA. And then the national is
AHA. American Association of Homes for the Aged.
Right.
In Seattle, they have something that I think is very nice. People who live alone can register with one of the hospitals, and they have volunteers who will go every morning and call that person. Mm-hmm. And if they don't answer, there is a telephone number of a neighbor, mm-hmm. and they can check on them and see if they're up and if they're all right.
You have it where?
They have it in Berkeley also.
Berkeley in
California.
California, okay.
It's kind of a fun fellowship, isn't it? Is it all done by volunteers?
It's all volunteers, yes.
They call it telephone reassurance in most places. And we operate as through Lutheran Ministries of Florida in the Broward area. And we have a whole list of people that are called each day. And yesterday we also mentioned the fact that people can secure these medical alert devices, which they can have in their home, which sometimes connect up to a hospital if they need that kind of help.
They're like a beeper or what?
Well, they have various ones, and some are voice directed, you know, if they need help. Some are things that you wear around yourself. And
it's a called pendant.
A pendant?
Pendant.
Pendant, yeah.
Sorry.
And you just press it, and it gets in touch with the hospital, and then they get in touch with you by telephone and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's because I don't have a family member to take care of, but often when I'm in good health myself, I stay with people who have health problems or who are elderly and mm-hmm. can't see well and so on. But just remember, my sister has Alzheimer's, and they're thinking she may have to go in the nursing home because she's so, when she takes her medication, it has to be on a certain schedule, and she has to put it down
right.
correctly. And I guess in the night, sometimes she'll forget what time it is or mm-hmm. or not know. With this, is there something like we were discussing that would contact the hospital?
The ADRDA, the Alzheimer's group, which is mentioned here. You probably, where are you located?
Oh, I'm sorry, did I say? She has Parkinson's.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there isn't any such organization, as far as I know, for Parkinson's.
Where do you live? Where does she live?
Well, she lives sort of out in Weed Country in eastern Washington.
Hmm. Better, you know, help is better if you're near a big city than
right.
rural.
Well, she may have to move, you know, closer to a medical facility.
Do you have anything like a, what do they call the agricultural service?
Extension,
home economics and so forth?
At the university.
Yeah, all right. Sometimes they know about those kinds of things.
Oh,
and they can assist you in finding out where the services are available.
Every county has an extension agent.
Right. Right. Yeah. Okay.
Does she cook her own meals or what?
Well, I'm not really sure.
She wouldn't be any near any center where she could get meals on wheels, right?
Well, I was thinking she has a family there, but the kids are, you know, all gone, and she's alone, and it's far from town, you know, in terms
so they wouldn't, I was thinking she would, they wouldn't be near Meals on Wheels, but Meals on Wheels can be a very advantageous thing, not for just serving, bringing in the meals, but spot check, you know, unobtrusively every day.
Yeah.
Or, you know, say take your pill before you take your meal. But if she's too far from you, so it wouldn't work.
Our rural areas are the ones which need many services which are not yet available to them. And this is one of the gaps in the service delivery system which we need to still work on. And the extension service ought to be doing more in this line. Okay?
You think in the future they'll be kind of called upon to be a liaison or
manager? Right. Right. Okay, let's go over what we've been talking about here. The first and foremost place to look in locating services for you and your elderly relative is the Area Agency on Aging, Information and Referral. Then they use both the white and the yellow pages, and sponsoring agencies will differ from community to community, regardless of whether you or your aged relative lives in an urban or rural, large or small community. You want to check out all of your options. You asked about advocacy. There is a number of groups in this area. You all know about the Gray Panthers? Do any of you know about the Gray Panthers? You know about Maggie Coon? Maggie Coon, you know, was the one who retired, was made to retire from the Presbyterian Church. And she said she didn't want to sit in the porch and knit or do anything like that. And so she organized her Gray Panthers, which is an advocacy group, and they're located in Philadelphia, 3700 Chestnut Street. And they go in for advocacy as far as changing the idea about old people are just old fogies. They changed the whole concept on television. And that's why you see programs like Golden Girls and things of that nature.
To say grandma on Golden Girls is sure cute.
Right. Then there's the National Council of Senior Citizens, which many people belong to. These are individuals. And then there's the National Council on Aging, which is an organization something similar to the AARP. And I went to their first, my first conference this year in Washington, D.C., and that is also an organization which is advocating for changing some of the ideas that we have. Because, you know, our biggest problem in this country is long-term care and not having a national health program. And we're working towards it now. We have a catastrophic care program which was passed in this past congressional session. And Claude Pepper tried to get another program passed, but it wasn't passed. But it'll probably pass in the next congressional session. And depending on which party gets in, you know, we're going to see a lot of changes, because we're going to need to do this. We're spending more money of our, more percentage of our gross national product for health services than Canada spends. But we don't offer anywhere near the same type of services that Canada has, because they have a national health program.
Anybody here from Canada? Last year there were two women here from Canada who were about 80 years old, and they really have a program.
Right.
I'm telling you,
when we were up in British Columbia at the World Council of Churches meeting, my wife Ruth had a problem with a tooth. And this was on a Sunday. And we were shipping out on the ship to go to Alaska. But she had it taken care of that Sunday at the university by a dentist who came in.
Yeah, their hospitals have a dental department for emergency service on the weekend. It was fantastic. And so I went in and they called up this dentist who happened to be a lady, and she did, I guess I had a filling fall out. And I just couldn't see me on a cruise ship for 2 weeks with a filling falling. The filling fell out, because they get a terrible toothache. So she came in and, excuse me, gave me a temporary filling. That was fantastic. And we had like 1 hour to get the ship after that, so that was sort of speeded up.
They have a program almost like Sweden's, where they have public health nurses that might look in on a person every day. And also then people that do home household chores come every other day.
We have got a thing at home too, and it's you know, quite a few different things. The Gloria Agency on Aging, Whitman County, and
where's that?
Headquarters is really in Colfax, which is another little farm town in Washington State. And then, but they're getting more and more. You know, there's broad variety. The university also has mental health services, and the
right.
county does, and so we're, you're sitting pretty if you're really, if you're in the Pullman area.
Mm-hmm.
We have that in Bellevue, but your income has to be so low that a lot of people need it, but they can't get it.
A lot of people fall through the cracks because, you know, their income is not that low in order to qualify, and yet they can't afford to pay for other services because their income isn't that high.
But you got to keep watching where the poverty income level is for both couples and singles. It keeps going up every year, and some people don't realize that the, what they call poverty level now is higher than it used to be. And we had this apartment for subsidized housing, and they considered people eligible for that were far beyond what I thought would be, you know, needing subsidized housing. Like a single person could be making $18,000 a year and still be considered for subsidized housing. And they could have net worth approaching $100,000 and still qualify. Then they surprised me when I got into this work. And then they, later on the government said, well, you gotta designate only for the poor then, but the others still weren't qualified as eligible for subsidized housing. So if you have any relatives that you're thinking about, you could re-examine those numbers every year, they change.
Another group that we have mentioned is the Visiting Nurse Association. And in our area, we have a half a dozen hospice organizations. And the latest one to go in for it has been the VNA, the Visiting Nurse Association. So we're really competitive down there, Broward County. The Roman Catholic Archdiocese has their own hospice organization now. There are all kinds of national health organizations. I was looking through this to see if there was anything in the matter of Parkinson's, but I don't see that. There's an American Diabetes Association, the American Foundation for the Blind, the American Medical Association, American Psychiatric, the Arthritis Foundation, Blue Cross Blue Shield has a national setup. Health Aspects of Aging is available for you. The National Association for the Deaf, the National Association for Mental Health, and the National Association for Visually Handicapped. But I don't see anything for Parkinson's.
I thought there was quite a bit lately that the doctors can do for Parkinson's.
Oh yeah. L-Dopa was something my mother-in-law used to have to take.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. They you know, and she has medication, I know, but there are many things, it's just pretty cruel. She was so lively, and so she was a woman pilot, and she skis. And she still skis with her Parkinson's.
How old is she?
She must be 72 to 74, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been really cruel for her.
Tough disease.
Yeah, you know, she's kind of scattered. She'll start doing something and forget and start something else and forget her medication or, you know, just...
Right. Do you know about the physical fitness exercise program, which is available free of charge from the U.S. Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, the Administration on Aging? You can write to the OHDAOA Publication Office for the number 73-20802.
Oh, did I mention it here in the back, all these lists?
No, I'm reading out from another source now. But you can also write to the Superintendent of Documents of the U.S. Government Printing Office, and it costs you 70 cents to get it from there. So it depends who you write to. In the rural services, here we are, the Farmers Home Administration. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington, D.C., Help for Those Over 60 is available as far as information about things like to build or buy homes, about rental units in rural areas. There's a group called the Rural Housing Alliance, located in Washington, D.C., and the Cooperative Extension Service of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Check your local listing in your phone book. Do you know that the White House will send a birthday card to anyone celebrating a birthday over 80 years of age?
I know they send them for 100.
Well, it says for 80 years of age. A couple celebrating an anniversary of 50 years of age.
What's his name?
Can also get a greeting.
They send out for wedding anniversaries 50 years.
50 years, right. You send your request giving the name and names of the individuals for the occasion at least 4 weeks in advance.
My husband and I got one, and we don't know who asked for it.
You get it from the president?
Yeah.
Did Ronnie send it to you?
Yes, Ronnie.
Well, how about that?
Ronnie and Nelson.
Well, I have to brag. I have to brag too.
Right on the day. And we were thrilled.
Good. When I was working in Washington, D.C., before I went to seminary, I was with the Federation of Churches, as they called it, working with service personnel and war workers. And I got an invitation for tea at the White House with Eleanor Roosevelt, because she has...
How about that?
How about that? My wife says, forget about it. She's always kidding. Of course I will. Certainly, with Eleanor. Yeah.
Eleanor poured the tea.
Did she pour the tea? Oh, heavens, I can't There was a man next door who was with Dial-A-Ride Transportation. Do you have that in your areas?
We do.
Dial-A-Ride? For seniors?
It's supposed to be over 65 to be eligible, and I'm trying to find them because...
Why?
Well, I was eligible over the summer when I broke my ankle, temporarily.
Yeah.
Handicapped, you can use the facility, but it's... Well, I get 75 cents for a ride in a taxi. If I go to church, I don't have a car, so if I go to church on the taxi, it's 3 and 25 or... Four or something. One way, so it's a little expensive.
Right. Yeah. You know about legal services which are available to seniors? Free legal services? Legal aid? There are clinics, there are programs available in many of the areas if they need that kind of help. Homemaker services, you all know what those are. Where they go into the home to assist taking care of an elderly patient, or home repair services where elderly need to have something done which they can't do themselves. We have
that. I wish I'd find that number.
That's available.
Where do you find those numbers?
Pardon?
Where do you find those numbers?
In the telephone book or through your area agency on aging. Through your community service council. These
They're
are different
from these. They're not usually free services, are they?
Pardon?
They are not usually free services.
They are if you are unable to pay for them.
Some of them are done through churches too, where they have volunteers that will help you.
Right.
You're on the 2-minute countdown now.
And the Red Cross, of course, offers the help in lending things which are necessary, such as wheelchairs and hospital beds. And things of this nature, so that there are many ways you can get help from the community. Any final question before we close?
Are any of these places a good place to find just a woman to come in and clean the house that you intend to pay? And do the senior citizen people, the Spryer ones, want to earn extra money that way by any chance?
Some places have services available.
The program where they pay people, minimum wage or less. to supplement their income.
Well, senior companions are paid a stipend to do that kind of work, but they don't do windows or things like that.
No, I need a regular.
Yeah.
I will need a regular.
Yeah. There are, it all depends on your community. If you're in Berkeley, I'm sure that something.
No, I'm not. I'm in Portland.
Portland.
My experience, I've been with my sister in Berkeley.
Okay, you're in Portland. I would think that they would have that available as well.
You can usually get that help through your church.
In some churches, they have that kind of help as well. All right, let me just.
We expect to pay, that's not the question.
Close with this caregiver's bill of rights. Says, I have the right to take care of myself, and this is not an act of selfishness. It will give me the capability of taking better care of my relative. To seek help from others, even though my relative may object, I recognize the limits of my own endurance and strength. To maintain facets of my own life that do not include the person I care for, just as I would if she or he were healthy. I know that I do everything that I reasonably can do for this person, and I have the right to do some things just for myself. To get angry, to be depressed, and to express other difficult feelings occasionally. To reject any attempt by my relative, either conscious or unconscious, to manipulate me through guilt, anger, or depression. To receive consideration, affection, forgiveness, and acceptance for what I do from my loved one, for as long as I offer these qualities in return. To take pride in what I'm accomplishing, to applaud the courage it sometimes has taken to meet the needs of my relative, to protect my individuality and my right to make a life for myself that will sustain me in the time when my relative no longer needs my full-time help, and to expect and demand that any new strides are made in finding resources to aid physically and mentally impaired older persons in our country. Similar strides will be made toward aiding and supporting caregivers. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. 2 weeks.